Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet. Toes. Come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
All right, it is Monday. We're cranking it up for the week, and it is time for the 2 o'clock call of the day. And, John, any guests percolating in your brain? Gettable guests for Bergman
to chase. Gettable guests that would be good to get.
Yes.
That right. Laura will get.
Okay. You're gonna be surprised at where I go.
Yeah.
Steve Ballmer.
Oh.
New arena. All-star game coming up. We've never had him. He doesn't do a lot of media.
Oh.
Think he'd be willing to talk about the Intuit Dome?
Hmm.
His team is very good this year.
Yeah.
Don't think it's impossible.
What do you think, Bergman?
I mean, I'll see if Laura can do it.
Oh, come on. You're still the producer of everything.
Of everything. Yeah, I mean, I can try and reach out to
That would be interesting.
I'll happily reach out to the Clippers and say, you have a really nice logo now, and I will
Don't
ask
like their
Ballmer.
Logo at all.
You're weird.
Super boring logo.
Yeah, we can talk more about that later.
Steve Ballmer is sweating it out tonight.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's going to help. All right, let's go to Mike in Northridge. Mike, you're on 710. Good afternoon.
Mason in Ireland, you guys are the best.
Thanks, man.
The reason I'm calling is longtime Laker fan, and it's been happening all year. Defensive rebounding. I don't blame AD at all. He's doing his job. As you guys know, who played basketball before, rebounding is all hustle. And I don't know why. It's not just yesterday. They get killed on the defense. They give up more second and third chances at any team I've ever seen. And I don't know why. Cam or anyone cannot fix this situation. They won't go far unless they change this.
Mike, I think it's a completely fair criticism. As you know, I'm a shameless Lakers apologist, but to get out rebounded 51-34 by the Suns.
Yeah.
And to allow Jusuf Nurkić, who's a good player, to get 22 rebounds is not right. And I'm glad you mentioned that it is not all Anthony Davis's fault. I think the casual fan will go, wow.
AD really got crushed. Nurkić.
No, AD leaves Nurkić to go help on defense.
Right.
And then Nurkić has a free lane to the rim. AD could have played better, but he had 14 rebounds himself.
Yeah, he did.
And he's not the only one that's allowed to rebound.
I read an article today. Is it size? Do they not have enough size? To rebound
because
with
LeBron
everybody?
Because LeBron and AD are both tall, and now Rui's out there, and he's tall.
He's tall and
but
long,
But to
yeah.
Mike's point, in rebounding this year, the Lakers are 21st out of 30.
Yeah.
And in offensive rebounding, 30 out of
Whoa.
30. So it's got to get better.
Yeah,
and the guards, Darvin talked about it after the game yesterday. The guards, D'Angelo and Austin, are pretty good size. They're both 6'5". Yeah. They got to go rebound. Part of it is they don't want to get beat in transition, so after they shoot, they get back
on defense.
They don't
crash and they go back.
But I think they got to make some adjustments because Mike's right. They're getting killed on the boards.
Yeah, they got to crash them.
Pat Riley used to say, no rebounds, no rings.
There you go. That may be true this year. Frankie D. Fresh, you're on 710. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What it do, babies? It's your boy, Frankie D. Fresh. And what an honor it is to be on the Mason Ireland show the day before they get inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Thank you, Frankie.
Thank you, man.
I have some points I need to make. First, I got to say AD is gutless and soft. Yeah.
Why?
If you want to win a championship, you got to play harder. John, what are you smoking? It doesn't seem like it's coming from the Green Cross in Torrance. Second,
go ahead.
And then my other point is I'm also called earlier before advocating for vinyls, records, DJ.
Ugh.
I do that.
Are you one of those vinyl people?
I have nothing against vinyls. It's just easier,
it's
Frankie,
so snooty.
To play digital music.
I totally get it. I totally get it. But I want to give a big shout out to Mace for advocating for mental health,
because okay, good.
and for the whole radio station for getting me through some tough times.
That's good to hear.
Is a suicide and crisis hotline, whoever needs it. And finally, I want to give a big shout out to Bergman. He deserves his flowers. I started listening to Mason Ireland when Lindsay used to produce the show. maybe a little better, but, you know, we'll be the judge of that. But
shout out, she's
when he
better.
He used to use a Xbox microphone on the, I think it was just LZ and Sedano show, and then Cap came along, and he's been crushing it. He's gone from hosting the Lakers hoedown in his closet to being a
that's true.
Host and Mal. So
he has come right. a long
Thank you, Frankie. Thank you, Frankie. The call.
Thank you for listening so much, man. We appreciate you.
I did have a, during the pandemic.
Yeah, what's he talking about?
During the pandemic, when we were at home doing shows, I had a one of those gamer headsets that had a microphone that came around.
It was a pandemic. Whatever worked.
And that's how I talked. And it sounded just absolutely terrible.
So wait a minute, you had like.
Yeah, I had like a gamer headset.
Like a Janet Jackson setup?
Yeah, yeah. Like the microphones that Pepe and Michael used
put
the microphone
up. Oh, okay,
but
you talked into the mic and it was
okay. Yeah, talked into the mic that way. Yeah, no, it was not okay.
God, what a surreal time that was.
Yeah. By the way, Michael told me an amazing, I'll wait till he comes in on Wednesday so you guys can hear it, but told me an amazing story today about a time where he was literally within a day of becoming a professional wrestler.
No.
Did you know that?
No.
All right, well, remind me to bring it up
on
Wednesday.
Okay, absolutely. Hey, when you drop your phone in water, your iPhone, isn't it supposed to stay waterproof?
Well, yeah, theoretically, but explain the exact same. Did you drop it in the toilet?
No, I dropped it in the jacuzzi. I'm using the phone in the jacuzzi, and I'm looking stuff up.
How long was it submerged?
For 3 seconds. I immediately snuck it up.
When was this?
It was Saturday.
Okay, if it ever happens again, is your phone working?
Yes. I had to go get a new one. It stopped working.
If that happens again, immediately put it in rice.
Yep.
I don't know if that's a... Is that still a
I've
thing?
I've done it.
Absolutely.
I've done it.
But it is soaks that up still
the water.
A thing?
Yes,
I don't know. I just read an article like a week ago about the same thing, and it said that it's like a myth or it doesn't actually work.
I read the same article. Well, it says it's a myth.
I did it. I dropped my phone in a sink that had water in it. It was like... and it was submerged for maybe 1 second. I pulled it out. I stuck it in a big tin of rice, pulled it out. It worked fine.
But here's the thing. It's supposed to be water resistant. The phone is supposed to be water resistant.
But I think that means, like, if you do this, like you spill a cup of water near your phone, but not. I don't think it means it's supposed to be submerged. Like, if you, one time didn't you tell me you forgot you had your phone in your pocket and you jumped off a boat?
But that was long before the phones were supposed to be water resistant.
There's a difference between water resistant and waterproof.
Correct.
That's what you're talking about. Water resistant means if you dump something like a bottle of water on your phone, it's resistant. It should survive it. If you jump in a lake and your phone is submerged, I think you're done.
Okay.
Because it's not waterproof.
Here's a guest idea. I'd like to talk to CEO Tim Cook from Apple about that. Can you get Tim Cook from Apple on
one of those ones that are not possible.
Okay.
And why would you want to talk to Tim Cook?
Because I want
to
complain about this phone thing. It's supposed to be water resistant. I don't get it.
Why don't you think Tim Cook is possible?
I don't think that's one that's going to want to come on to a sports radio station.
You never We'd know. We'd have to know somebody.
You have to know somebody.
Just like if I want to get Ballmer, I would go through Momo since she's paid by the
Clippers. Oh, right. She gets paid by Ballmer to be one of the public relations people.
Well, here are Arash. Call one of the two.
I bet Sedano can get him for us.
Sedano could get Ballmer?
Probably has a relationship.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Yeah. All right. We mentioned the Clippers logo. You're talking about Ballmer. Have you seen the Clippers logo?
Yes.
Okay. Your reaction?
Don't get it.
Yeah. I don't get it either.
It's fine.
It's boring.
What does it mean?
There's like a half a ship boat thing and lines, and then it's such...
I didn't see any of that.
You didn't see a boat thing?
I didn't recognize the boat. It just looks like a bunch... It looks like some kid in a drafting class just drew a bunch of stuff.
It does look homemade to me. It does look homemade. Like maybe...
It's fine. It's clean.
I mean, he's got the best marketing people in the world. He probably has a logo guy that works for him, and this is what they came up with?
I'll say this about both the logo and the uniforms. When the Rams rebranded, I didn't like any of their stuff, and now it's grown on me. So maybe the Clippers stuff will grow on me.
It'll never grow on me. If it was great, it wouldn't grow on me. No, see how that's a ship? That's a ship in the middle.
Yeah, it's supposed to be homage to like San Diego.
Wait a minute. That looks like a cruise ship.
It does.
Correct.
A Clipper ship is a ship with a sail.
This is a Carnival cruise.
Right.
Yeah, it's exactly. not. It's not like a Clipper ship the way you would think. I just think it's generic.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's generic?
Yeah.
It's boring. Now, Bergman, you like it?
No, it's fine. I'm not like, oh my God, this is amazing. If any other team in the NBA had this, I'd say, oh, okay, that's fine.
I'd say boring.
Just because it's a Clippers, I think we're giving it a lot more.
So here's the mistake they made. Mace,
yes.
Pretend you and I are on the TV show Password.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
You're receiving, I'm giving.
Okay.
Clippers.
Loser.
Exactly. That's what I would have said, too.
Yeah.
They should have changed the name.
Oh,
when they got rid of Donald Sterling, that was a golden opportunity. It's not that hard to do.
New building. New Orleans
did it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not that hard to do. And what would have been perfect is call them the Los Angeles Stars.
Yes.
And have a big, like, they could steal
the
cotton.
Make fun of all of them.
Relentlessly.
No, we would make fun of all of them.
The Stars.
Greg, you don't make fun of the Clippers?
No, we make fun of the Clippers, but if they change their name to the Stars, they get ripped apart.
Well, it doesn't have to be the Stars.
They have
no
Stars.
But they could have a chance to sort of get rid of all the old stuff and say, we're moving into a new building. This is all new now. New logo, new uniforms, new everything.
See, I think this is just, it's fine. It's exactly what they should have done. They didn't go glitzy and glammy like they were trying to do before with the streetlights over spotlights and all those kind of things. They just went very normal, dry, here you go, this is what we are now. And that's a better way for it to go. I think that was the exact right way to go.
We were talking, a bunch of us were talking the other day about the NBA is rumored to be expanding to Vegas and Seattle within the next couple of years. And the WNBA team in Vegas took the perfect nickname, the Las Vegas Aces.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
great.
What would you call the NBA expansion team? What's a Vegas... Aces is perfect.
Yeah, the Aces.
You can't call them
great.
The Kings because there's already a Kings.
The Gamblers.
Yeah, you could.
They would probably. Well, I don't know why they would shy away from that. Every single ad on games is now a gambler.
Yeah,
ad.
The Gamblers is bad. Is
yeah.
good.
Gamblers would be good. The Vegas Gamblers.
Yeah, that works.
I think that's catchy. Las Vegas Aces.
Is this too weird? The High Rollers.
The Vegas High Rollers.
It could work.
It could work.
Yeah.
It could work. It should be something Vegas-y, though. You're right. You're right. All right. Tell you what. Coming up next.
The Sphere. The Las Vegas Sphere.
Yeah, I think.
They got to pay.
And they'd have to pay Dolan.
You know, somebody,
they'll never do it.
Somebody told me in advertising that in order to get your ad on the Sphere during Super Bowl week in a regular rotation, $3 million. $3 million to just be on that.
Well, the thing is one of a kind.
It
I don't is. Know if I'd pay $3 million.
Yeah, everybody was looking at it, but all right, coming up next, SNL says you can make money off your degenerate gambler friend.
By the way, this skit you're talking about gave me an idea for Mythical Money. So,
oh, good.
So let's play it.
Excellent. Yeah. We will do that. In the meantime, this spring, you can get in and get away with a great deal on the Hyundai you've always wanted at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. And as always, every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty. 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. You can get the, like I did, I'm driving the hybrid Elantra. The Sonata is super sharp. The Ioniq 6 is spectacular if you want to go EV. And, of course, they got the Santa Fe if you want to go SUV. It's more joy for every journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, which is going on now. The great deals will not last. Check them out. Visit buyhyundai.com or see your SoCal Hyundai dealer today. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Is this JT?
JT, new JT. Pretty good.
Yeah, everything he does is good.
Yeah, he's great. By the way, Culture Pop Podcast came out today. It is with the writers of Bob Marley, One Love, Terrence Winter, who's a great Terrence Winter, you know.
I've heard that name before.
Was executive producer and writer on The Sopranos, was executive producer, creator of Boardwalk Empire, wrote Wolf of Wall Street, was nominated for an Oscar. So it's him and Frankie Flowers. Go to YouTube, search Culture Pop Podcast, and it will pop right up.
Is that why you liked the movie? Because you had them on your podcast?
No, I loved the movie.
You loved the movie?
I loved the movie.
You saw it, Greg?
Yes.
You guys didn't love it.
No.
I loved it. By the way, the world more agrees with me. It was a gigantic box office hit.
I mean, the story and the story behind it is good, but the acting and everything about it just wasn't very good. They didn't do enough.
The acting, you didn't like the lead actor?
I know. I like him. I thought he was good. I just didn't think the storyline worked. It just was a very short period of time. It didn't explain anything. It just like assumed that you knew everything that happened in the movie.
Here's what I liked about it.
In his life.
They didn't do the, okay, here he is as a little kid. Here he is as a teenager. Here he is as grown up. Here he is when he dies. That's what they didn't do, which I liked.
I wanted them to explain to me how he was coming up with creating these songs. Why did he...
You didn't think all the strife in Jamaica was all about that?
No, I know, but like actually him writing the songs. Like one of the cool things about 8 Mile with your favorite song, John, Lose Yourself.
Yep, you first song in his playlist.
You saw, I mean, I know it's fake and that one wasn't a biopic, but you saw him writing the song, kind of putting it all together. I wanted to see that with all the Bob Marley songs, and it just wasn't. It was about something that they just assume you already know and they're just showing it.
So I did not know the stuff in the movie. Did you know the stuff in the movie? Did you
know
that
he
brought two warring factions together on stage at a peace concert?
I mean,
I did not.
That was a big deal, though. I think that one I've seen more than I have seen that. Then knowing that he was in a relationship with other women and the wife was in a relationship
right,
with other
men. Right, they both had infidelities.
And then they had some guy that was stealing money from them. I didn't know anything about that, those kind of things, but they just glommed past it.
Yeah, disagree.
Okay, that's fair.
Love the movie. It is, and by the way, it's doing huge business at the box office, which is great. All right, Saturday Night Live. Kind of not the best episode of Saturday Night Live.
I wasn't familiar with Shane Gillis,
me
were
either.
You?
No, I had never heard of him. I thought his monologue was right on the edge of...
Weird. Yeah, but this skit was interesting. It's a spoof about, what if you had an app that you could bet on literally anything?
Yes. Here it is. This was from SNL Saturday Night.
The thrill of victory. The satisfaction of placing a bet and watching it hit big. The exhilaration of an upset only you saw coming.
With betting apps right on your phone, it's easier than ever to turn your passion for sports into cold, hard cash.
And with so many games to bet on, you almost can't lose.
But there's a dark side as well.
We all know a friend who struggles with online gambling.
A friend who's on the verge of losing everything. His house, his family, his entire life.
And now you can bet on exactly how he'll lose it all.
With Rock Bottom Kings.
It's the only app that lets you take prop bets about how your degenerate gambler friend is finally going to hit rock bottom.
Will it be goes double or nothing on a random WNBA game?
Or bets his child's college fund on the coin toss?
And when your friend is desperate for cash, you can bet on what his lowest moments will be. Will he take out a life insurance policy on his own mother? Will he set up a fake GoFundMe that says he has leukemia? And what will he sell first, his PS5 or his kidney?
And you can build a parlay about everything that could happen to him. Divorce, marries rich old widow, arrested for elder fraud, and fakes his own death, but is immediately caught when he uses an app to gamble.
With Rock Bottom Kings, you'll feel like you're in the game. The game of your friend versus his horrible demons.
But again, addiction is a real problem.
And we take it very seriously.
That's why all these gambling ads are full of cash, gold, fireworks, and flames exploding everywhere.
Because you're not a loser. Your friend is.
They say the house always wins. Well, now you're the house, and your friend is probably going to lose his.
Does it seem a little cruel to bet on your friend's devastating addiction? Sure, but it's also hilarious.
So however your friend bottoms out, make sure you cash out at Rock Bottom Kings.
Download Rock Bottom Kings today, because gambling is serious. Seriously awesome.
Rock Bottom Kings. He's the one with the problem.
There you go. That was Saturday Night Live, and... You know, we don't talk about that. We don't have the access to be able to gamble with the touch of a phone, right?
But not in California. A lot of my friends do.
Do they?
Yeah, they just have offshore accounts.
Oh,
yeah.
Offshore accounts. But I mean, literally, like if you're sitting in an arena in, let's say, Cleveland.
Right.
Sports gambling is legal in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. You can bet on the over in the second half. You can bet on LeBron getting over a certain number or whoever. I mean, people are My brother in Ohio says when they legalized it, it's unbelievable the number of people that show up at casinos and gamble.
At the heart of that spoof was betting on your friend's behavior.
Yes.
So, for example, when we walked into Crosstalk today, had I had the option when Travis said, hey, Mace will come by this season ticker event, I knew you weren't going to that event.
We talked about it this morning. I was almost gone.
I would have bet Greg that you wouldn't go, but you probably wouldn't have taken it.
No chance I was taking that. No, but it's 7 o'clock.
Betting on your friend's behavior is a fun idea.
That is a fun idea. Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to wish him ill like that spot suggested, but, you know.
Is betting on your friend.
Like, what do you weigh right now?
192.
Okay. So.
Up a little.
Greg.
Yes.
If I said it's basically March 1st in a couple of days.
Yep.
By the end of March, Mason will be north of 195. Would you take that bet?
So, because I'll win it, I'll say yes. He'll be below. I think he'll be below.
Okay, I'd say he'll be above.
Yeah, you do.
I will take that bet.
You want that bet? That'll be betting on my misfortune, gaining weight.
Well, not your misfortune, but your habits.
My habits, yes.
Okay, so I'll bet you 5K.
Done, because he will do it just to spite you.
Correct, but that's what I'm going for.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, no.
So this is my Mace way of over. Keeping Mason healthy.
Yes.
Betting him
it's
that
a challenge.
He'll go over 190, because like you said last week, you need a challenge.
I do. I need a challenge.
So now you got one.
All right. By the way, whenever we bet, stupidly, even on my weight, it's brought to you by Prize Picks, the largest and number one daily fantasy sports platform in North America. New members can go to prizepicks.com/710. Use code 710 for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. All right, so the court storming thing. We have to do the court storming thing. I actually have Bergman pointed something out to me today, and it changed my perspective on the situation with the Duke-Wake Forest game, which led to a court storming by Wake Forest.
Yeah, it's what everybody's talking about, and we'll get into it coming up.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Let me tell you about iSpot Active. This is wearable cryotherapy. If you golf, play pickleball, tennis, soccer, basketball, football, if you do anything active, you got to know about iSpot Active. Go to that website. ICEBODactive.com. I used this a couple of weeks ago when I had a long day. I played golf in the morning. I had to load a moving truck in the afternoon, put on my iSpot compression shirt. Mace, you still wearing your iSpot compression shirt?
I am. Every night I wear it.
Folks,
this shoulder, I need it for the shoulder.
And the upper and lower back, it's great. If you're active, and particularly if you're sore, go to that website. You'll see Hall of Famer James Worthy with a testimonial on there. There's a doctor who does a video. It'll answer any questions you have. It's wearable cryotherapy. You put on these compression shirts. You slide the ice-cold gel packs into the slots that are built into the shirt. You leave it on for 20 minutes. And if you're like me, you're going to feel a lot less sore 20 minutes later. Check it out today. iSpot Active, by the way, always free shipping. Always 30-day money-back guarantee. So for any reason you don't like it, you can send it back, get all your money back. iSpot Active, iSpotActive.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The world isn't wide enough. Get immersed in the expansive views of the 48-inch customizable panoramic display in the all-new 2024 Lincoln Nautilus Hybrid. Explore more at Lincoln.com. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Hey, everybody has seen by now the Wake Forest court storming in which one of the Duke players was injured, their best player.
Right. And so it has started a debate over whether or not college basketball should ban court storming. And most people with a national platform seem to be leaning that way. Here's the discussion on CBS Sports over the weekend Adam Zucker, Clark Kellogg, and the first person you're going to hear from is Seth Davis talking about court storming.
First, you have to make the decision, are we going to ban court storms or are we going to manage them? I've never liked court storms. The court is for people like yourself who earned the right to be there, players and coaches. The fans have not earned the right to be there. I've been against court storms for a long time. We could see this type of thing coming. I kind of backed off to the position. Well, OK, we'll have the court storms. Just make sure there's enough security there to get the opposing teams. That's just not in place. A huge turnover by Wake Forest University, which obviously knew that if Wake was going to win the game, this was going to happen. If we made the decision collectively in the sport to get rid of court storms, it could be done.
Yeah.
People just don't, frankly, have the gumption to do that, and I frankly wish they would.
A way to maybe guide the students coming onto the court away from the opposing players, but not every situation's the same.
I think you just shut it down. I don't think you can have a middle ground.
That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. You're trying to play both sides against the middle. The players and coaches need to get off the court, and if you want to have a post-court storm, a minute and a half after the game, then you can do that. But the players and coaches, officials, have to be given room to get off the court safely.
Good luck telling the college students that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck.
So a lot there. What do you think of court storming?
I think they've got to get rid of it. I think it is dangerous. But I'll say this about this Kyle Filipowski.
Yeah.
He was injured because he went to trip somebody that was storming the court. If you look at the video
it looked like that person tripped into him.
It looked like he stuck his leg out and tried to trip somebody, and that's how he actually got hurt. Bergman, do you have that? Tweet out that slow-mo that you showed me.
Right, well, Greg, where are you on court storming?
So I don't think you can do anything to stop it. There's nothing that
sure
can be
you
done.
Can.
No, you can't ban it. They're gonna, and also I don't think you should. It's a part of the college experience. I did it. I've done it at UCLA. I've done it at Colorado. I've done it plenty of times.
You're a regular court stormer?
Went back in the day. Sure, it was fun. But I think there should be ways around it. I don't know what you can actually do.
Okay, I've got one. I disagree with what you said at the beginning of that.
Which part?
That there's nothing they can do to stop it. Of course there is. It doesn't happen in the NBA. Doesn't it happen in the NBA?
That's a college thing. It's the students
right,
storming the court.
But I'm just saying,
we don't have students
in
the NBA.
If you want to seal the court, you can seal the court.
Right. If you had security there, nobody would storm.
You put redcoats there.
Yeah.
So you're going to now pay more redcoats, more security. At
yes.
Each,
correct.
For how little it happens.
But let me. I agree with you more than I agree with Mason. So let me throw this out there. I sent this to you guys. One unnamed college coach.
Yeah.
Has an idea. And I think it might work. Tell me what you guys think.
Okay.
All right. So this is an idea of how you can keep court storming, but make it safer. Start a shot clock as soon as the game goes final. So in other words, you've got a rope up around the court. You've got security in place. But you start a shot clock as soon as the game goes finals. You give the visiting team 30 seconds to get off the court and down the tunnel. Your students start counting down.
Okay.
Once the home team is in the tunnel and safe, you drop the ropes, let them storm the court. Would that work?
No.
Why?
You want to go first, Mace, or
yes.
me?
Yes. The court storming is spontaneous. It's not like, okay, let's stop and watch, let everybody, three, two. It's not going to work like that. Kids just storm the court. They're not waiting. They don't care.
There's only a few ways you can get onto a court. All right, just because of the way things are configured. Like, a lot of people have a press table in front of it. Some
sure.
sites don't. You can seal the court. I've seen it done.
Yes.
UCLA banned court storming until my sophomore year of college, and then they realized that other arenas were doing it, and they got jealous, and they basically said, okay, they put yellow guys in yellow jackets around the court at the end of games, and they just caused a small delay. They didn't wait 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But after about 10 seconds, they went, they said to the students, had their hands up. They said, wait. All right, go. And they all stormed the court.
So the problem with UCLA, by the way, is that they're used to winning and being the number one team in the country. Especially, what year were you there at UCLA?
81-85.
So they were still pretty good around the end of the
year. When I got there, they were in the NCAA championship game. When I left, they won the NIT. I was there for the whole demise of the UCLA basketball.
So you were straight downhill. You were in the demise. But the fact is that they were winning championship after championship. And they were always the number one team. So people were storming the court on them if they lost, not the other way around.
Right. But so you guys would both ban it.
No.
Bergman's like, you can't stop it. I would absolutely red coat that sucker. You know,
you can. That is an option.
Here's the thing about the schools. The schools have such liability when guys are storming, when kids are storming the court. I told this story a couple weeks ago, but when I was at Bowling Green, we actually went undefeated one year. And at the end of the season, everybody stormed the field. And some kid got hit with the goalpost, and his life changed forever. The liability there is incredible.
Right. I didn't think about that. But I think you can do it in a controlled fashion. I would just need to talk to more people in that business to figure out exactly how to execute it. But I'm with you, Greg. I would try and find a way to keep it.
Yeah, because it is something that is fun in your college experience to go and storm a field, storm a court. That is a big part of the – like, I was at Colorado when we beat Nebraska, when Nebraska was really good with Tim Couch and all that kind of thing. I stormed the field in Boulder, and it was amazing. It was such a great experience that I remember for the rest of my life.
Yeah, no, it's a cool thing. It's a cool thing. There's a lot of liability. Now, this kid got hurt. I don't know how seriously he's hurt.
The Filipowski, I think a lot of that was his fault.
I do, too.
It was him sticking out his leg and then trying to push the guy.
Yeah.
Well, I think any smart person realizes that you've got to find a way to get the visiting team off the court and safe. But if you can do that and still let them storm the court, you should do it.
I just got this tweet that's interesting. Chrissy tweets, do you have anyone on your podcast whose movie you didn't like, Venice Mace? A simple yes or no would suffice. You don't have to mention any names.
I would love to know that answer, too.
Oh, I think it's unavoidable.
If I don't like the movie, they're not coming on. I don't book people. But there have been instances
where you have had somebody on, and just because of your schedule, there's a chance you haven't seen the movie yet.
No. Always see the movie. Huh. I've never had anybody on where I haven't seen the movie on a screener, or haven't gone to the theater, or haven't watched the link on TV. I watch so much stuff. I'm trying to think, is there anything? Yeah, there probably is somewhere along the path. But honestly, I don't bring people on if I don't like the movie. And if you listen to the rest, why not?
Yeah, do you have a conversation
and say this movie's bad?
Well,
no.
Could you say, though, like what Greg said about Marley? Hey, this movie didn't work for me, and here's why. But it's a huge success. It's a big break for you in your career. Tell me why you think it works.
Never.
You would never do that.
Oh,
why not?
Completely blindside somebody.
Wait
a minute. So
you're having a real conversation.
Hang on a second. So Academy Award nominee Terrence Winter is on the show. Hey, I didn't like your movie, but tell me why you made it the way. I mean, you can't do that.
It's how you say it. You don't say, hey, I didn't like your movie.
I think, by the way, like, go back to Larry King. Larry King was a completely non-confrontational interviewer.
Right. He never saw the movie or read the book in advance. That was his rule. Because, honestly, he says he wanted it to be fresh for his viewers and his listeners. The reality was, I think he was a little lazy.
Yeah.
I won't have somebody on if I haven't seen the movie or the TV show.
Yes, yeah, see, I would. I would interview somebody if I didn't like the movie.
Yeah, why not? I think that's actually... shows that you will bring on anybody.
I mean, I'll bring on anybody whose work I like. I'm not going to bring somebody on and blindside him with that sucks.
It's not even... No, you just...
Well,
like
Greg's right.
Sucks.
You don't have to say it that way, but you could say to Terrence Winter, hey, like any movie, there were things in this for me that I thought were great and I really enjoyed. For example, A, B, C, and D.
Right.
There were other things that just didn't work for me. How do you decide what to put in and what to take out?
Well, that part of the question was asked. Why did you tell the story the way you did?
I think that's the way you get the answer.
Is open-ended
and
you get it from
throwing
him
under the bus.
Exactly, exactly. So, Chrissy, the answer is maybe once or twice. Maybe. But Ireland, I always see the movie or the TV show,
really?
Or I don't do the interview. Yeah.
Huh.
All right, coming up next,
before you do this tease, Greg, and I want to give some, this was not an original thought from me, but it came from one of our listeners. If I could find it, I would give him credit. But now, of course, I can't find it. For a potential guest.
Okay.
And this guy's doable because I've heard him on other podcasts. Larry David.
That'd be great. I'd need to find... I would need help from someone that knows Larry David. And then you start looking towards Mason.
Didn't you call Sue once and ask her if she'd do it, and she said no?
She said she'd try.
No, if I remember correctly, I think I listened to that show. Momo, and she goes, yeah, good luck.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to talk to Susie Essman on Thursday. I could probably get Susie on the show.
Oh, I'd love to talk to her.
She's great.
Yeah.
She's great. So should I try to bring her on if I can bring her on?
Yeah.
Sure. She's going to do the podcast.
100%.
So I'll ask her while she's there. All right. So what's up, fools? Coming up next, don't forget Fifth Row Fridays from BBGO, the official game day snack of the Los Angeles Lakers. And we got fifth row seats for a Lakers game. If you can answer correctly five questions on a quiz this Friday at 3:30, there will be one question from each show all week long. Answer all five and you're in the fifth row. What game is that for, Bergman? Do you know?
Against, one second.
Yeah, Lakers versus, in the fifth row, the
Sacramento on Kings. March 6th.
Excellent. So make sure you're listening all week long for that. What's up, fools, coming up next. In the meantime, my buddy Jacob wanted to share kind of a typical situation. So you get in what you think is a minor car accident, and your knee hits the dashboard, and you get out of the car, and you talk with the person, and they say they zoned out or they didn't see you. And it's obvious the accident's the other guy's fault. But your car is damaged, and it still can be driven. You take pictures, you exchange the information, and then after waiting a week or two, you get hold of the other driver, and they say it was your fault. Oh, and when your knee got hurt, it hurts more every day since the accident, and it's going to be difficult to prove when you got injured. So don't put yourself in this situation. Again, if something happens immediately after an accident, there's only one name to remember. It's Jacob, Jacob, Jacob. Jacob will work hard on your behalf so you can get the compensation that you deserve, get yourself healthy, handle all the paperwork, all that stuff. A lot of attorneys say they'll fight for you. Call Jacob. He'll win for you. 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB. Or remember,
accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie. Call Jacob.
CallJacob.com. Don't forget, you can follow Jacob on Instagram. Go to @call.jacob. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
The founder of Panasonic once said,
"We can lead more meaningful and constructive lives
through the pursuit of activities that will ensure
a better today than yesterday,
a better tomorrow than today."
Panasonic is committed to creating a greener,
more equitable future for everyone.
Explore Panasonic Green Impact
at na.panasonic.com/green impact.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh, how so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Thanks, Morales. All right, so NBA Central put out an aggregated report that ESPN has removed Bronny James from its 2024 mock draft because they now project him as a selection in the 2025 draft. LeBron James responded to that and said that, "Can you all please just let the kid be a kid, enjoy college basketball? The work and results will ultimately do the talking no matter what he decides to do. If y'all don't know, he doesn't care what a mock draft says. He's just works. Earned, not given." Now, is LeBron saying that he thinks that Bronny's going to come out this year?
Yeah, that's actually interesting.
No, I interpreted it the other way.
Did you?
Like, leave him alone.
Leave him alone because he's going to come out.
They took him out of his mock, out of the mock draft, apparently. And so the idea is that maybe he's not coming out this year, but I still think there's a chance he comes out.
He's not even starting for USC.
I know.
By the way, Greg, did you watch the USC-UCLA game over the weekend?
I did.
It was painful to watch that game.
It was
UCLA didn't score for like the first 10 minutes of the second half.
It was awful. They're done now. Unless they win the Pac-12 tournament.
By the way, both USC and UCLA won't be in the
tournament. They'll probably miss the tournament, yeah.
But I kind of, like, Peter King retired today.
Yeah.
And he wrote a long retirement column about the things that he'll miss about the business and the thing he won't miss. And he said the thing he won't miss are mock drafts. He says it's a complete farce. It's just people guessing.
Right.
He goes, nobody knows anything. And he goes, I hated it when they assigned me to write mock drafts. I'm kind of with King. I think mock drafts are stupid. I never read them. I don't look at them. And Bronny James almost had a near-death experience. I think he's just happy to be out there. I'm kind of with LeBron on this.
I don't disagree with LeBron on what he's saying here. I mean, by the way, and I also think mock drafts are just total BS, unless we're doing a story about them, and then they're really good. Because sometimes there's interesting stuff in a mock draft that you want to talk about and play with a little bit, the ideas, et cetera, the players that may be on your team or may be going elsewhere. But in this case, I don't think it's particularly significant. For me, I think there's no way Bronny comes out and goes to the draft this year.
And I also don't think LeBron is retiring at the end of this season.
No, no.
So
no.
There'll be opportunities in 2 years for them to play together.
Sure. When I was reading that quote from LeBron, it almost seemed like he was disputing the fact that ESPN...
I took it the other way, that he just wants people to leave Bronny alone. But maybe you're right.
That's part of it.
I didn't see it.
Both things are right. I think he wants them to leave him alone, but also it just seemed to me that it sounded like he wanted him to come out. I don't know. That was my take.
Okay.
What's up, fool?
All right, guys. I saw a pretty crazy stat on NBA Today. Wemby has 38 blocks in the month of February alone, crazy. Which is more than six whole entire teams. And he was here this last weekend, so a lot of people got to see him up close and personal. LeBron, you know, tweeting at him with the alien emoji and all that.
Right.
So my question is, has he really lived up to all the hype? I mean, 38 blocks in 1 month. That's pretty crazy, right?
Not only has he lived up to it, Brian, but I think he's exceeded it. To do what he's doing at the age of 19, he's having a better rookie season than LeBron did. And he's playing 10 less minutes. And his shot blocking is freakish. There was a play, we played him on Friday. And Austin Reeves does this a lot. He beats this guy off the dribble, and he's very good at getting to the basket. So he went around Wemby and had a layup. And he gets to the rim. And Wemby, who was like 6 feet away from the front of the rim, just reached back with his go-go gadget arm and blocked it. He had it 2 weeks ago in Toronto. He had a triple-double with 10 blocks.
Yeah.
So it was, and by the way, at age 19, he leads the NBA in block shots. So, Mace, I don't know how you can't say he hasn't exceeded what people thought he would
be. I mean, I think a lot of people thought, you know, nobody that I know, but some people thought he's too thin and might get hurt.
Greg Bergman uses the word bust.
I don't know anybody.
Just, let's be careful with that.
Wait a minute.
What?
Did you not use the word bust?
Sedano asked me, would you think he'd be more of a bust or more of a Hall of Famer? I said, well, I would probably lean towards bust because he's 10 feet tall and 120 pounds.
Man, how can you argue that you didn't say bust?
How is that different from what I said?
I was asked one or the other. I didn't say he was going to be a bust. I was asked, would I lean one way or I have to go one way or the other.
Okay, now you prepared to say you're wrong?
I was wrong. He's played over 50 games. He's going to play over probably close to 70 games. That's better than what he's doing. Everything I thought he would. Anytime he twists an ankle, he comes back and he plays. He is proving to be durable this year.
Yeah,
he's great.
He's been great.
I will say, watching that game Friday, you cannot take your eyes off of him.
Right.
He's such a completely.
I'll take
unique,
it a step further.
Never
and
before
all three
seen
you guys
kind of player.
To think about it.
Okay.
And this is going to sound like a ridiculously outlandish statement.
Okay.
But tell me if you agree with it. There isn't another player in the NBA I would trade him one for one for. Not one. I wouldn't trade him one for one for Jokic.
Giannis?
Nope.
Luka?
Nope.
No, not Luka. I mean, Giannis would be tough.
Jokic is the toughest one.
Do you think you can win a championship with Wemby alone?
No, but you can't win a championship with Joker alone.
With Giannis alone, he kind of
well, wait
he didn't do it
he
alone,
had,
but kind of.
He had two All-Stars with him. He had Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton with him when they were All-Stars.
Yeah.
The other part of it is Wemby is just scratching the surface
that's
of
why.
What he's going to be. And
right.
he's only 19. Can you imagine how much better he's going to get? So, yes, I would agree. I think that's the one player that I wouldn't trade one for one.
You're probably right. He's been fantastic.
And that guy's, when he gets rolling, he's going to sell a lot of tickets, too. Big star.
After getting to his first game against the Lakers at Crypto was this past Friday, and he did a 5x5.
Yes.
Did you guys read about this?
Very rare.
All right. He had at least five. He had way more in some categories, but he had at least 5 points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks.
Yep.
It's only the 19th time it's ever happened, and he's the youngest player ever to do it. I just think the sky's the limit for that dude. He's great.
What's up, fool?
All right, speaking of another big man, Shaq was on his latest podcast, and I was listening to it on the drive into work today, and he said by the age he was 18, he never would go to bed before midnight, not once. Instead, he would take about 3 to 4 hour naps during the day and especially before games.
Hmm.
Now, to me, that just sounds crazy. I don't know how anybody could sleep 3 to 4 hour nap in the midday And John, I know you, you know, don't sleep as well at night. So
have
are you
we
a napper?
Right. No, I just sleep when I'm tired. And I fall asleep during the day a lot. You know, if
hour three.
Yeah, like maybe coming up here in about 20 minutes. There are some people that just can't sleep an extended period of time. Although last night, I've been in three cities in the last 3 days. My voice is getting weak, and I said I gotta sleep. So I gummied up hard and got like 8 hours of sleep, which I never do. But that's the only way I would do it is if I artificially.
8 hours. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever heard you say that.
Yeah. 8 hours.
I went
of sleep,
to bed at 9. And I woke up at 5.
Okay, now be honest. How many milligrams?
Well, here's what I took.
Okay.
20 milligram gummy.
Yep.
2 Tylenol PMs and an Ambien.
Whew, that is like a sleep bomb.
Right. And I went to bed at 9.
Yep.
I watched Curb.
Yes.
Went to bed. Woke up at 5.
Yeah. See, I love sleep. I think sleep is so underrated.
So do I. I just can't do it.
It's like for example, the Rams thing, I had tickets for tonight, and we were going to be in kind of the cool section with the food and the drinks and all that stuff. And Juan told me today, reminding me about it. I'm like, tomorrow I got to be at Lakeside Golf Club at
8 in the morning.
In the morning. Yeah. There's no way. And I need 10 hours of sleep. I have to have 10 hours
I've
of sleep.
I've never slept
10
hours my entire life.
It is the best. It is the best.
Well, think about everything I took, and I still didn't sleep 10 hours.
Right. True. Yeah. Yeah, once I'm sleep, I love some good sleep, man. It is so underrated. It's delicious.
I love sleep. I don't know if I've ever seen 10 hours in the last 15 years.
So good.
And by
so
the way,
good.
You know, the beginning of that, Brian, you said Shaq, when he was 18, never went to bed before midnight. I'm 60 and I never go to bed before midnight unless it's something like I'm not feeling good.
Yeah.
You know, I stay up that late all the time.
Unless it's a Friday or Saturday, I never see midnight. I would never see midnight on a school night, as I say, on a school night.
Last night I had 6 hours and 47 minutes.
Oh, you keep track of it on your watch?
I do.
Oh, that's cool.
And so I can see how when I wake up, when I'm in REM, when I'm in core sleep, when I'm in deep sleep.
What is that, an Aura ring or?
No, it's just the watch.
The Apple watch?
Yeah, the Apple
does
watch.
Does all that?
Yeah.
Huh. I don't use it for that. How do you charge it? When do you charge it?
I charge it when I get in the shower.
And it charges enough?
It charges enough, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I don't do that. How does it know if you're having REM sleep? How does your watch know if you're having REM? I think that's just made up BS. Again, another reason to get Tim Cook on the show, because I don't believe in this.
Your
watch can't tell you if you have REM sleep.
Ireland? How fast
your pulse goes. I'm with you. I think it's a sales trick.
Here's another reason to get Tim Cook on the show. I want to try out those Apple Vision goggles. They're $3,500. I saw Josh Hart was Josh Hart's a big fan of them. He's using them for email and social media and all that stuff. To me, if I was Apple, I'd say let's give it to Mason because he's going to talk about it a lot and that'll be good for the product. Do you want to call him?
Yeah, this is what they're going to do. He's going to come on and say, "Look, just try my $3,500 glasses."
They're $3,500.
I mean,
when they come down in price, I would be interested to try them, but I haven't even tried them so far. All right, there you have it. There is your What's
Up,
Fool.
A couple things kind of. We were just talking about Wemby. He's a candidate for this, but a lot of talking about who's going to be the face of the NBA after LeBron retires. Shannon Sharp has an interesting caveat to it that we'll share with you that, to me, makes zero sense. That and you mentioned Mace.
Yes.
When we were talking about when you got the question, would you ever have somebody on your podcast whose movie you didn't like?
Yes.
And I brought up Larry King.
Yeah.
And you said Larry King was famous for not doing any research.
Yep.
We found an interesting example of that that we'll share with
you
coming up.
That is coming up for you. Mason in Ireland. Plus, I'll tell you about my experience in the LA Poker Classic on Saturday.
Oh, I haven't heard yet.
Yeah, I will tell you about it coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.